podcast lead presenter David Balkwell has 30 years of certification assessment experience and has undertaken over 7,000 days of certification assessment. He worked full-time for BSI as operations manager for 10 years before setting up his own business carrying out independent certification assessment over the last 20 years with 19 accredited certification bodies. ISO Builder is a registered trademark of Balkwell Limited. All online content is protected by international copyright and the Trademarks Act 1994. ISO Builder Online is not responsible, liable, nor necessarily support views as expressed by our podcast presenters in any way. They are their own interpretation and views. We accept no liability for any content. Patrons should always source confirmatory opinions regarding interpretations of management systems in relation to their own situation and intended use. No content is intended to be offensive in any way.
This session is objectives and planning to achieve them. Probably one of the most underestimated clauses in ISO 9001, ISO 14001, and ISO 45001. Although common ground from Annex SL, the requirements within each of the standards sits in 6.2. So what we'll endeavour to do in this session is to cover all three, which is slightly complicated because each of 6.2s in ISO 9001, ISO 14001 and ISO 45001 are different. However, there is much commonality across, so we'll endeavour to cover the key areas and hope that this session raises some understanding and interpretation improvement when you are setting objectives and planning to achieve them. So, with regards to the core areas of objectives, they're set within the policy statements, essentially. Not the wording of the objectives, but the commitment to setting a framework for that given objectives, quality, environment, health and safety, and review. But specifically within 6.2, there are requirements for the objectives to be consistent with the policy statement, to be measurable, to take into account applicable requirements, to be relevant to conformity of products, services, and to enhance customer satisfaction, be monitored, be communicated, and be updated as appropriate. Essentially, what I was covering there was the core requirements for quality. With regards to environment, they be consistent with the environmental policy, be measurable, monitored, communicated, and updated as appropriate. With regards to ISO 45001, that they be consistent with the occupational health and safety policy, be measurable. There are some qualifiers there as well, if practicable or capable of performance evaluation. Also, to take into account applicable requirements, the results of assessments of risk and opportunity from 6.122 and 6.123, and the results of consultation with workers and where they exist workers' representatives. Also, for the objectives to be monitored, be communicated, and be updated as appropriate. Now, with regards to quality, environment, and health and safety, there are requirements for documented information to be maintained. Now, specifically with regards to quality, that's contained within the core requirements for quality objectives. What we find with ISO 14000 is the same. It's within the core requirements for environmental objectives. But what we note in the requirements for ISO 45000 is that the expectation for documented information be retained sits after planning to achieve. So we take it that that embraces the requirements for occupational health and safety objectives and the planning to achieve the objectives, in such that the organisation shall maintain and retain documented information on the occupational health and safety objectives and plans to achieve them. So that embraces the two elements. The documented information requirements simply sit within the end of the setting of objectives, establishing objectives. Now, of course, we know historically that there has been a bit of a mismatch, a mix mash of interpretation of objectives with regards to whether they be quantifiable, whether they be measurable, whether, as in ISO 14000, it was quite specific and said that objectives and targets shall be set. And the interesting thing as well is how these objectives are set. Now, often from my experience, they're not actually grown out of the management system as an output, but established in isolation, which isn't really the intent of the requirements. To satisfy continual improvement 10.3 in all of the standards, and to be able to take objectives and the success of objectives being achieved into management review for discussion to determine suitability, adequacy and effectiveness, it's important that objectives are actually something which come out of the management system. Now, of course, being that the management system is often global and local, it makes little sense for objectives to be set at the highest level when there are clearly opportunities to improve at a local level. So there may be a blend of objectives set at a corporate level, but not forgetting the need to ensure that where locally the management system produces need an opportunity for improvement, that they are embedded within the objectives, the measurable objectives. Now again, there are slight differences with ISO 14000 in that we need to consider where objective has been deemed to be significant through significant aspect. So where we look at our equivalent to risk and risk management, not risk and opportunities, but for example hazard identification, risk assessment and risk control, a core risk assessment element within ISO 45001, there is very little that helps us determine the most significant health and safety issues and areas, but clearly those that are deemed to be the highest scoring or ranking will be the activities that are seen to be the most significant. So it could be used to migrate into objectives to look for areas and opportunities where that risk could be reduced. For ISO 14001, when we carry out our aspect evaluation, similarly, there is the need to determine significant aspects, and those aspects be then migrated across and considered within the setting of environmental objectives. Not forgetting quality, of course, that has very little on the determination of what are our biggest quality issues or areas that we could possibly consider for objective setting for quality. So there are three different things going on there, which is a little complex when it comes to trying to manage objectives and targets as a process that governs quality, environment and health and safety, but nevertheless is possible, and that would typically be done through planning actions to achieve the quality, environment and health and safety objectives. And historically we had in previous standards for environment setting objectives, programs to achieve our objectives. Now these are planning actions to achieve environmental objectives, to planning to achieve our occupational health and safety objectives. And with regards to quality, when planning how to achieve its quality objectives, planning of changes. So There are some slight differences, but really the same applies in all respects. That the management systems produce outputs, and by evaluating those outputs, we can determine where objectives should be set. To set objectives in isolation of that actually doesn't work in line with the determination of opportunity for continual improvement. Management systems, of course, covering two key elements. One, to demonstrate compliance with the said international management system standard, and two, to support the principles of continual improvement. So the setting of quality, environment and health and safety objectives would be key, in that they could be tracked back into areas where we could improve, can improve, have improved historically over time. So that clearly does support the principles of continual improvement. And one thing to remember, of course, is that where these objectives are set, they are not set to take us to a point of compliance. For example, we wouldn't typically accept an objective to be legally compliant. We would go from a point of compliance beyond that. We wouldn't say where there is a specific requirement in the standard to ensure all people are competent to carry out particular activities defined within the organisation through its processes and the standard. We wouldn't set an objective then to train all people to be competent. We may well look for areas where we can improve the evidence of documented information in those areas, but there may be many other areas, including customer satisfaction, or where we've want to reduce waste or improve on utilities performance, reduce the amount of electricity consumption. And there are all kinds of issues there environmentally with if properties, premises are leased or rented, in that the monthly fees include bills and utilities, so very difficult. But nevertheless, there is still no reason why an organisation can't take the moral high ground and look to improve, reduce water consumption, even though that's fixed payment billed monthly. May not necessarily be the same at every site or every location, but it's about looking around the management system, where the management system produces outputs, to turn those into opportunities for improvement, to set objectives that are smart, with targets, with measurables that take us to a better place, so that when we go to management review, we can determine suitability, adequacy and effectiveness. And that typically that would be within the strategic direction of the organisation with regards to quality, environment and health and safety. So I hope that session has helped a little bit. It is quite detailed, and the best is to go into the standard and look at the expectation specifically. But hopefully what it has done is has included some key areas or some highlights or some thoughts around where not to to set objectives and where to set objectives. Thanks very much for listening. Bye for now.
ISO Builder Online, quality information for quality managers. ISO Builder is a registered trademark of Bockwell Limited. All online content is protected by international copyright and the Trademarks Act 1994. ISO Builder Online is not responsible, liable, nor necessarily support views as expressed by our podcast presenters in any way. They are their own interpretation and views. We accept no liability for any content. Patrons should always source confirmatory opinions regarding interpretations of management systems in relation to their own situation and intended use. No content is intended to be offensive in any way. Bockwell Limited, Management Systems Consultancy Audit and Training. Contact us by email, davidbockwell@bockwellltd.com or office@bockwellltd.com. Established in 1999.